If you would, this morning, Luke chapter number 2. I know by now you're frantic. Many of you are thinking about that final gift you need to buy, and most of you are dreading to drive to Winston-Salem. How many of you would say that just the thought of driving to the mall, unless you just love to shop, begins to cause heart palpitations, your heart begins to beat fast, you think about the traffic. I've sat in traffic Haynes, Stratford and Haynes Mill, is that right? Right in there? I sat there for an hour before one night. I tell you what, I was ready. I was ready to commit something. I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was just, it's just one of those. I tell you what, it'll take all the peace out of your heart. You can talk about peace and goodwill toward men, but when you start, you know, rubbing shoulders and dealing with obnoxious people in line, and then you deal with all these things, I tell you, your peace goes, doesn't it? But I'm glad that we can have a peace that passeth all understanding, aren't you? Matter of fact, with the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, it leave you all frazzled, and you just long for, I mean, you got family coming, you're trying to clean everything, cook, do all the things you do to get everything ready, and you're just thinking, oh, if I could get a moment's peace, just a moment of peacefulness. Well, somebody described a frantic Christmas using the 12 days of Christmas, and here's what they said. They said, it went like this, 12 dogs are leaping, 11 cats are creeping. 10 fingers gripping, 9 toes are tripping. 8 drinks are spilling, 7 glasses filling, 6 friends and themes, and 5 telephone rings. It's more than that today, right? 4 crayoned walls, 3 loud calls, 2 kisses free, and 1 mother up a pear tree. And so more than likely, before it's over with, there's some mom here, boy, you wish you was up a pear tree and away from everything else. But you know what, in a real serious note, we live in a world that lacks peace. Is that not true? And we're living in a day when people lack peace in their own hearts. Matter of fact, peace is the most elusive treasure known to mankind. We're living in a world that's rocked by a war all around us. I mean, you just turn on the headlines and you hear of atrocity and violence and murder on every hand. And mankind is desperately crying out for peace and just looking for it. Someone said that peace is that brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stands around reloading. Isn't that sad? Isn't that how people look? Do you realize that out of all the time of recorded history, there's only about a little over 200 years of what people would call peace in the world or peace on earth? But can I tell you, not only is there no peace in the world in which we live, but there's no peace in the individual hearts of people. While I was preparing for the message, I ran across a conversation with a well-known radio talk show host. It was a while back, but I ran across the transcripts and this radio talk show host had just completed reading Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation, a book filled with the inspiring stories of the World War II generation, known as a Great Generation. And this person had taken the position, this radio talk show host, had taken the position that the current generation of young adults, those in their 20s, are, for the most part, he said, a bunch of whiners. And here's what he went on to say. Now, I didn't say that. He did. All right? He said that while they are constantly whining and moaning about the difficulty of their lives, in fact, when compared to the hardships faced by their grandparents' generation, they've actually got it easy. Their grandparents had endured truly devastating events like the Great Depression and World War II. He went on to say the current crop of young adults, he concluded, doesn't even have a clue about real hardship. Once he had finished his monologue, a self-professed member of the younger generation of adults called in. It was a call-in radio talk show. And he offered a different perspective. He was very bright, extremely articulate, 23-year-old. And here's what the caller said. He said, while the Great Depression and World War II were certainly created terrible hardships for the people who faced them, that he nonetheless believed his generation faced an even greater hardship. The radio talk show host asked this, said, and what exactly would that be then? And the caller said this, the loss of hope and peace. He said that his experience indicated that many of today's young adults had simply stopped believing that things were going to get better and had no idea of how to cope if they didn't. They weren't expecting a brighter future. They have simply given up in hope, in finding hope and peace. He went on to say to the radio talk show host, the Great Depression and World War II created terrible hardships. He said, but I submit to you that the greatest hardship of all is living without any hope or any peace. Boy, I thought that was powerful. Can I tell you, I've got good news for you this morning. You say, preacher, what is that? You don't have to. I'm glad today as we sit here and there's a generation around us, and maybe that's what your heart echoes. You sit here this morning, maybe you're a young adult sitting here in your 20s. Maybe you're a young family and you look out at your future and it doesn't look as bright as maybe previous generations. It may be that hope has died in people's hearts that you work with and people around you and people that we come in contact with. It may be that there is inner turmoil in their lives and there is an elusive search for peace that they cannot find. But I've got good news. Nobody has to live without peace. Amen? Matter of fact, the last several weeks we've been preaching on the gifts of Christmas, and this morning I want you to see that God offers to men His priceless gift of peace. Can I tell you, may I submit to you this morning that better than living a peaceful life, and you know what? Every one of us wants a peaceful life. Did you know that? We want peacefulness. Everybody wants that. But better than living a peaceful life is living a peace-filled life. And God offers men, women, boys, girls, teenagers, everybody of any age, of any generation, a peace-filled life through His gift of peace. I want you to notice that the secret to living a peace-filled life is found in the angel's announcement to those shepherds that first Christmas. I want you to look with me now, if you would, in Luke chapter number 2. You should be there in your Bibles. And let's begin reading, if we could, in verse number 13. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And I want you to key in again in verse number 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Aren't you glad that God has given His priceless gift of peace, and you can have it? Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, what a joy it is to be in Your presence today. Thank You, Lord, for the sweet spirit in the service, a great congregation. Lord, thank You for guests that are here this morning. It is a joy to have them here. And Lord, I pray that they've been welcomed to the house of God this morning. And I pray, Lord, that they'll be blessed. I pray if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that they don't have any peace in their heart. Lord, their peace, they don't have any peace here. And Lord, they don't have any peace about their eternity. I pray that before this day is over, that they can experience Your peace in a real and meaningful and true way. I pray You'll help me as I preach. Father, I recognize my own inability, my own insufficiency, but I recognize Your sufficiency. And I pray You'll do in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls what I cannot do. Lord, I can deliver the Word, but You can make it come alive in their heart. And I pray that that might take place this morning. I pray for souls to be saved, lives changed, hope to be given, and Your name to be lifted up and glorified. And we'll praise You for all that takes place today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the peace that God wants to give every one of us. Now listen, I'm going to probably give you about half of it right now, and you can come back tonight. Everybody come back tonight, get the second half, all right? Notice, if you would, first of all, as we talk about this priceless gift of peace, the source of this peace. You say, preacher, I really want to live a peace-filled life. Well, I'm going to tell you, the only way you're ever going to live a peace-filled life is for you to understand and know the source of the peace that God offers. Notice its promise in verse number 14. Notice what He says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In this verse, the Bible tells me that God has promised us His peace. But do you realize the vast majority of the world isn't finding His peace today? It's already here. It's not something that we necessarily have to search after or long for or ask for. God said it's already here. It's already come. He said peace on earth. Listen, you say, preacher, I look around me and there is no peace. Oh, friend, can I tell you, you can look in the heart of God's people and you can find peace today. Amen? And there is a peace that's on earth, but the world's not finding it. because they're looking in all the wrong places. There are those that are looking for peace and possessions. They think that contentment and peace can come from some kind of material or physical possession that they can have, or maybe some kind of emotional possession that they can grasp onto. And others may be looking for peace in places. Boy, if I could just get that cruise, if I could just go on that vacation, if I could just find that remote desert island, if I could just find that place where there's nobody, if I could just be a hermit in the mountains, if I could just be like a bird that flies away to a tree somewhere and be there all alone. Boy, if I could just find a place of peace. Others are looking for it in a position. They think that in the realm of government or corporate ladder or in some place of position that they would have peace and contentment in their heart. While others are looking for it in people. They think that there's some person out there that if they could have that man or that woman or that boy, that if they could have that house, if they could have that, they would be peaceful and content. But can I tell you something this morning? The truth is, peace is not found in possessions, and it's not found in places, and it's not found in positions, and it's not found in people. It is found only in a person, and friend, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel on that first Christmas said to us, because He had been born, peace on earth. I see its promise, but I want you to notice now its person. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 11. He said, notice how he connects how the messages are connected together. There is one angel. These shepherds are out here on that hillside, that Judean hillside. They're watching over their flock. They're caring for them. They're doing what shepherds do. And they're probably communing together. It's a peaceful night. Maybe I have no idea what the night was like. I don't know if it was bright and stars. I don't know if it's cloudy. I would say probably it was bright simply because of the angels are going to fill the sky. But there's an angel that appears and gives them an announcement, a message from the God of glory. Notice verse 9. Let's go there. He said, and lo, the angel, the Bible says, and lo, the angel of the Lord come upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. Sounds like they didn't have any peace at that moment. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. We talked about that enduring joy last Sunday, which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad that everybody can have God's joy, and everybody can have God's peace if they want it? And here's where it's found. For unto you, here's why you can have joy, and here's why the angel announced that there would be peace on earth. He said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. May I submit to you this morning that God's peace was bound up in a babe that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, surrounded by animals in a Bethlehem stable. Listen, because Christ was born, the angel could say, there's peace on earth because the Prince of Peace has come. 700 years before, Isaiah had spoken of this source of peace when he prophesied of the birth of the Lord Jesus. He said in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Aren't you glad, friend, that God knew this sin-cursed world needed peace, and He already had the answer in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Can I tell you, one day there's going to come a day of perfect peace on earth because this Savior is coming again. Amen? But I'll tell you what, you can have peace right now in your heart. It's a personal peace. A personal peace. It's an internal peace. It's not external. See, peacefulness is an external matter that affects me inwardly. That is peaceful living. But may I say to you, peace-filled living is an internal peace that is not disturbed. It is not affected. It is not caused by, nor is it hindered by external circumstances around me. It is an inner thing. It is a personal thing that only God can give. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, God cannot give happiness and peace apart from Himself, and there's no such thing as peace without God. Friend, I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're here and God's not in your life and you've never been saved by the grace of God and you don't have a right relationship with Him, you'll never know the peace that the angel's talking about in this passage right here. I'm glad that we can have personal peace in our hearts, because 2,000 years ago, the Prince of Peace robed Himself in human flesh and came to earth. And in Him, God gives us a priceless gift of peace. Listen, Isaiah 57:21 said this, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You know what? We live in a world that they don't have that inner peace. They don't have they've got inner turmoil. They've got trouble on the inside. There's just a dissatisfaction, a discontentment that comes into their lives. Isaiah, in that same passage, went on to describe the turmoil in the heart of those who are without Jesus Christ, who do not know Him. And he describes it as their hearts being like the troubled sea that casts up mire. It just seems like it's always boiling inside, and always trouble and turmoil and something going on. And I can just promise you this, friend, if you've got turmoil on the inside, you're going to have turmoil on the outside. When you're not right in here, you're not going to be right out here in your relationships with those around you. If you've got turmoil on your heart, you'll have turmoil in your home, on the job, out in the world, in relationships. Listen, I'll tell you what, peace out there begins with having peace in here. But not only is there no peace in this life for the unsaved, there's no peace in the life to come. You know, there's a place the Bible speaks of called hell. And I'm here to tell you, hell is just as real today as it was 2,000 years ago, as the day it was when God prepared it for the devil and his angels. Friend, God never intended for hell, for man, or man for hell. It was destined or designed or it was created for the devil and his angels. But when you and I choose to rebel against God as Satan did, then one day we're going to be where he is, if that's the choice a person makes. And now here's what God says about a person that rejects Christ and spends eternity apart from Him. The Bible says in Revelation 14:11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." Can I tell you, friend, they're not partying in hell. They're not having a big time in hell. They're not enjoying hell. The Bible said there's no rest there day nor night. Not only will they not have rest here, they won't have any rest there either. Friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that you'll never know true peace apart from the Prince of Peace. You see, He is the source of true, real, lasting peace that can come into the heart of an individual and change them for all eternity. And so not only do I see its promise, not only do I see its person, but I want you to notice next its provision, if I could. You see, all men desire peace, but very few desire those things that make for peace. But the truth is that when it comes to this matter of our relationship with God, the peace has already been made. I hear this all the time. Well, you know what? You need to make your peace with God. Can I tell you, it's already been made. It's not something I have to do. God's already done it. Colossians 1:20. The Bible says that Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. You see, this child that was cradled in a manger was destined to die on a cross. And He is our peace, the Bible says. You know, the Bible teaches you, preacher, where does this inner turmoil come from? Why is it that there's trouble on the inside of individuals, this restlessness, and this longing for this peace in a heart? And the reason is that man, in a sinful condition, is the enemy of God. Romans 5:10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Being much more reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And here's what He's saying, that before I was saved, before you were saved, and here today, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we're the enemy of God. Listen, before I was saved, whether I realized it or not, whether I understood it or not, I was God's enemy. Listen, and you know what this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ and you don't have the assurance of eternal life and you're not sure, you don't have any peace about your relationship with God, can I tell you this morning that whether you're aware of it, whether or not you understand it, you're the enemy of God. You know, hostilities are always on our part, never God's. God's not at war with you. You're at war with God, wanting your way, your will, rather than God's way. And you know what, Christian? You can say, and you say, well, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I don't have any peace. If you're living for self, and it's all about what you want, and all about how you're pleasing yourself, God's not going to allow you to have the lasting peace that salvation brings, because you're out of step with Him. And when you're out of step with the Prince of Peace, how in the world can He ever allow you to enjoy the results of His peace? Can't do that. It's men who are at war with God, and the root cause of war is sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. And you know, but I got good news. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says this, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Friend, can I tell you, Jesus Christ at Calvary made peace, the Bible said, through the blood of His cross. Friend, we can have peace today because of Jesus who came, and Jesus who died, and Jesus who arose, and He is the Prince of Peace. During World War II, saturation bombing devastated a little village along the Rhine River. The village that had existed, the village church had existed for centuries, and took a direct hit, and it was destroyed. After the war, the townspeople took what little money they had and they rebuilt their little village church. However, it was nothing in splendor or look to the old one and everything. The village carver, wanting to bring something to the church, took what wood could be salvaged from the old church, and he made little wooden figurines of Christ and the 12 apostles. It was interesting that if you go there and you visit and you see this, here's what you're going to find. Now, when he carved the statue of Christ, the wood carver made no attempt to remove the bomb fragments from the wood that he carved him out of. Therefore, the statue of Christ had metal fragments protruding out from it. It was as if Christ was saying, I took the pain that you might have the peace. Friend, aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago He took our pain and He took our penalty upon Himself, and He endured that you and I might have His peace? He did. I want you to look with me at a verse. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 32. We're going to spend a lot of time tonight in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 32. I had no idea until I was studying for this message how much Isaiah had to say about peace. And we're going to see that a little more tonight when I talk to you about the peace, the lasting aspect of God's peace, the experience of it in the life of the child of God. But friend, listen, you can't experience peace if you don't have His peace. Look at Isaiah 32 and find verse number 17. See, in a very real sense, what took place at the cross was Him enduring the pain and the penalty for my sin that I might have the peace that He offers. The priceless gift of it. Peace on earth because the Prince of Peace came. Look at verse number 17. And the work of righteousness shall. Didn't say it might be. Didn't say it may be. Didn't say it could be. The work of righteousness shall be peace. One of the questions that I ask a person that when I talk to them about their relationship to the Lord and whether or not they're going to go to heaven, I ask somebody, are you saved? I seldom ask that question. Because they really don't understand the question I'm asking them. I don't ask the question in terms that would be in a sense that would be a way where they couldn't really understand what I'm asking. Here's the question that I ask. If you were to die, I ask it here, I ask it out. If you were to die today, do you have 100% assurance that you'd go to heaven? And you know what you call that? Peace. That's what you call that. See, for me to be able to say from the Bible, yes, I have 100% assurance I'm going to go to heaven, that is peace. I don't have to worry about my eternity. I have peace. I can lay down my head at night and know whether I wake up where I'm going to be. I can lay down my head at night and know that if the Lord would come, where I'm going to be. I thought about this today. So often we get in our cars on Monday morning, we'll get in our car and we'll leave this parking lot and we'll drive out that road and we won't give one thought to whether or not we'll come back up that road. We just take it for granted that we will. But not everybody does. And the question is that if something were to happen to you, do you have the peace and the assurance that your eternity is settled? Because if you don't know that, then you'll never know real peace. That's the difference between peaceful living and peace-filled living. Does that make sense? And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That is peace with God. That is what the angel was speaking of on that day. He wasn't talking about world peace. At that moment, the iron legions of Rome dominated the world. Israel was filled with violence and different things going on. These shepherds, as they were standing there, as they were watching over their flock, it may have been a peaceful night, but I can promise you there was no peace on that earth during that day. That angel made an announcement, peace on earth, because there was a true and lasting peace in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the things that are going around us, you and I. We may not have a peaceful life, but we can have a peace-filled life. Then he goes to the second part, and this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. And the effect of righteousness. That's the effect of salvation. Quietness and assurance forever. That's the result of it. You see, there is a source of peace, but thank God there's also a season of peace in the life of the child of God. And you know what? The Christmas season comes and goes. Now, when I was a kid, I don't know how it was for you. When I was a kid, boy, young people, I tell you what, Christmas came around every 2 years. I mean, we'd open the gifts, and boy, I was excited, and it was good, and it was wonderful. And then you had to wait 364 or 5 days for that thing to come around again. I thought it'd never get here. The older I get, I think it comes twice a year now. You say, preacher, wait till you get 70. Then it comes 3 times or 4 times a year. Just whizzing by. You know? And you know what? You gotta wait. Gotta wait for the... And we long for it. That's why my wife starts in July. November. The other day is just probably 6 weeks ago. All right? We're there and the fall decorations is out. You ladies know what I'm talking about. And then she gets this whim. I'm tired of fall. I'm ready for Christmas. The fall starts going up. The Christmas starts coming out. And then it keeps on going. And to keep the season lasting, it'll probably last on into January sometime. You know? And stuff like that. Because she loves it. But you know what? Actually, many of you love it too. Now, I know we sit back and we say, oh, I don't like this or like that. But we like the distraction. We like the family. We like the things... But it's just a season. It passes. But you know what God says? My peace is not just a season that passes. It's a season that lasts. Because He says, look what He says, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And you say, preacher, I'd like that. Well, you can have that. But you have to know Him to get it. But then after you know Him, then there's a secret to experiencing this peace that He's talking about. That it's already yours. You already have it. But you say, preacher, I'm in turmoil. Preacher, I'm upside down inside. You know why? It's because you're missing the application of peace. And I'm going to talk about that. But you've got to have it before it can be experienced in your life. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you and I can have peace with Him this morning? Friend, how in the world can we ever have peace in our home? How in the world can we ever have peace in life's relationships? How in the world can we ever have peace in our hearts if I'm at war with the God of heaven? It can't be done. One of the favorite... I am a lover of missionary biographies. I've read just about all of them you can read. And I'm sure there's somebody got one that I haven't read. But I've read about missionary after missionary after missionary. One of my favorite missionary biographies is about the lives of Don and Carol Richardson in 1961, who went to live with the Salwe people and with their 17-month-old child. They were missionaries to Papua New Guinea to a head-hunting tribe called the Salwes. Their savagery was a way of life. The tribesmen considered headhunting and cannibalism and treachery as virtues. As these savages heard the message of the gospel, they were so twisted in their mindset and their thinking, they considered Judas, not Jesus, as the hero of the story. Because they saw treachery and murder and all of these things, they saw that as a virtue. Matter of fact, they said that friendship was just a way of fattening somebody up for the slaughter. They befriended you so they could slaughter you and eat you, and they thought if they did that, that that made them great. Don and his wife almost despaired of ever reaching these people. At last, the warfare and barbarism between the Sawi and their neighboring tribes grew so intense that the Richardsons, they felt like they was going to have to leave the mission field, leave the area. But when the Sawi people heard that they were going to depart, that they were going to leave, it disturbed them deeply, and they had grown to love and they had grown to trust the Richardsons. And so to stop their leaving, the Sawi met in a special council and they decided they were going to make peace with the neighboring tribe. So the next day, Don watched with mounting curiosity as the peace ritual began. The warring tribes would exchange, and here's what they would do. They would exchange a young child from each village, and as long as any of those children were alive, the peace would continue. That child was called a peace child. It was an anguishing ritual because every mother feared that her child would be taken. She'd have a choice. The chief would choose a child and he would pass that child to the village and they would choose a child and pass it to this tribe and then there would be peace as a result of the exchange of what they would call that peace child. They all feared that it would be their child that would be taken and given to the other tribe. And after a time of emotional, tense, indecision, the chief himself went and grabbed his only son and rushed him toward the enemy. And as he did that, he was virtually giving the tribe away to his enemies. And in return, he received a son from the other side. And Don said this. He said, as you read the book, that peace descended over that. He said there was a peace like you had never experienced before. I mean, there was barbarism. There was headhunting. There was murder. There was violence. I mean, it was awful. And he said, suddenly you could feel the peace that descended across these mountains. As Don Richardson began to ponder the significance of that ritual, God the Holy Spirit helped him to realize that in the peace child ceremony that was in that people, in that group of people, that it had a powerful redemptive analogy and it would become the key to reaching the Sawi people for Christ. And so thereafter, Don gathered all the elders together in a hut, and there he began to tell them about God, the Heavenly Father, that had sent His Son Jesus to earth as His peace child to make peace between God and man. He explained that their peace child would eventually die, and as a result of that, the peace between those warring tribes would end, and the peace would be gone, and the war would return, and so it was a temporary peace. It wouldn't last. But however, God's peace child, the Lord Jesus, will never die, and therefore the peace that God offers is a lasting peace. And I'm here to tell you, God 2,000 years ago gave you His peace child. And as a result of that, the angel said, peace on earth. And friend, you and I can experience and have that peace this morning. When the Prince of Peace reigns in your life, the peace of God can rule in your life. God has promised His peace. It is found in His Son, the Prince of Peace, who's provided it through His cross where He made peace. And now He offers to men, women, boys, and girls the opportunity to receive the gift of peace. A priceless, precious gift that the world's doing everything they can to find. And God said, it's already here. And I want you to have it. And you have it when you come and you trust My Son as your Savior. And you receive My peace child and what He did on the cross for your sins. And God says, then you can have My peace. And friend, I'm going to tell you, aren't you glad that God gives us an eternal peace that will never fade away? It lasts forever. It's ongoing. And friend, can I tell you, that same peace, that eternal peace becomes an internal peace that enables us to handle the difficulties of life. It's a peace, watch this, that the Bible describes that it passeth understanding. That means that the world looks at you and they don't understand it. I saw that Friday night. As I came through here, there were family members that they were grieving greatly. But there were many of them in the midst of that turmoil that you could see an inner peace, that God had brought calmness in their lives in the midst of their pain and grief. And many of you have experienced that. And people say, man, how do you get that? Well, the only way you can get it is to know the Prince of Peace. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the building this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you have peace? Do you have the peace in your heart that you have 100% assurance if you died that if you drew your last breath today, if you went out that driveway and you were hit out that driveway into the road and you were hit and killed, that you would spend eternity with God in heaven? Or would you have to say, "Preacher, I have some doubt. I'm not sure." Friend, if you have some doubt and you're not sure, that means you don't have peace. You don't have it. God wants you to have it today. And you can have it. The quietness is an invitation to someone. You'd slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I don't have the peace. I don't have 100% assurance I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" I sure want to pray for you today. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We're not going to call your name out. You're not going to have a bad experience in this church. But you'd slip up your hand and you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't have the peace that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't have that 100% assurance, but I want to have it. Pray for me." Would you slip up your hand so I could pray for you this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. Is there another? I'm just scanning the auditorium. Is there another? "Preacher, I want that kind of peace. Is there somebody else?" In a moment, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to invite you to come. Somebody's going to be at the end of each of these aisles, and they've got a Bible, or they'll have somebody, if you're a man, or a lady, and take a Bible. And they'll take you in a private setting, answer your questions, and show you how you can know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, how you can have His peace, how you have the peace in your heart that you'll spend eternity with God, that you can know His peace, child. We invite you to come. And there's others that will be sitting here, and you'd say, "Preacher, I know that I have that peace, that 100% assurance that I'd go to heaven, but I'm not experiencing peace." Can I tell you, friend, if you're out of step with God, sin in your life, out of fellowship with Him, you're not going to experience His peace. Why don't you come and deal with that so that the peace can flow? Would you do that? And maybe some of you just need to say, "Preacher, I need to come and talk to Him so I can experience it. I know I have it, but I need to share it with Him. I need to talk to Him about what's going on in my heart and life." Aren't you glad we've got a God that can whisper sweet peace to your heart and minister to you and give you that only He can give? And maybe this morning you need to come and talk to Him this morning and share with Him what's in your heart and let Him whisper sweet peace to your heart, because that peace is real. You already have it. And friend, God wants to speak it to your heart this morning. Father, take the message. Use it in every heart and every life. I thank You, Father, for the precious, priceless gift of peace. Father, I pray for that one that lifted their hand and that they died today, Lord. They don't know where they'd go. There may be others that, Lord, they're not sure in their heart if they died they'd go to heaven. They don't have peace that they're right with You. I pray that they'll slip out of their seat and they'll let somebody take a Bible and show them from the Bible how they can be saved. I pray for those today, Lord, that are struggling in their heart. Maybe there's a battle going on between Your way and their way and Your will and Your will. They belong to You. They're Your child. But, Lord, they've been resistant. And, Lord, as a result of that, the peace that You've given them, that feeling of peace, that experience of it's gone. And I pray, Lord, that they would get where You want them to be and submit to You, that Your peace might flow through their heart again. Father, I pray for those that are in turmoil this morning. They know You, they're saved, but Lord, trouble has come into their lives. And I pray, Father, that as they bring their care, their trouble to You in prayer, that, Lord, I know You will, You've never failed, that You'll whisper that sweet peace to their heart, that You'll give them that inner calmness, that inner quiet assurance, that although everything may not be all right on the outside, everything's all right on the inside. Lord, I pray You might grant that today. And Father, we're going to thank You for what You do for us and in us and through us. I pray for those, Lord, that need to come, they'd slip right out at the invitation time. Those that lifted their hand would slip right out. And Father, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. As we stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Dan getting ready to sing the invitation hymn. God spoke into your heart and you say, "Preacher, I don't have any peace. If I died, I'd go to heaven." Why don't you come this morning? God has peace for you. It's in His Son and He wants you to have it. Would you slip out and come? Christian, you say, "Preacher, I'm not experiencing His peace." Why don't you find your place here at the altar and let God whisper peace to your heart. You come, Brother Dan. How about it? You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today. I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven." How about you coming? Well, God wants to give you peace with Him. God wants to come, that inner turmoil.